Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Severance Season 2, Episode 8, Sweet Vitriol.
Yeah. I couldn't really come up with a drink that would fit that. I mean, I guess if I'd made more of an effort, I could have, but we went with something else. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, certainly. There will be spoilers for this show. We are getting close, people. It's episode 8 of season 2, so as far as what's out there, you should be binging this already. And we are having, this is my idea, a Kir Royale, which is basically creme de cassis and Prosecco, which, you know, hey, it's a Prosecco cocktail. This is like our MO, right?
It's true.
And it maybe sweet vitriol. I don't know. I didn't make that much of an effort giving thought to it, but I felt like sometime this season we needed to have a Kir Royale to honor, dishonor, whatever.
Dishonor.
Kir. Dishonor on your cow.
Yes.
Kir. And
dishonor on your Kir.
And this is the episode for it, as far as I'm concerned. So let's get started.
I've been alluding to this episode for quite some time. And I noted it as one of the ones I wasn't looking forward to. And I was right. But it's not awful. It's not the worst episode of television I've ever seen.
It's not even the worst show that we've come. Worst
no,
of shows we've come.
What I'm saying is it's just very disappointing after having even like the lowest episode we might have given a B minus or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is just a waste of my time. And it does all the things that Severance is wont to do, which is create extra mystery, talk around potentially interesting concepts, and then use a 40-minute episode to give you like 2 minutes of an actual explanation that is useful for the plot and is interesting for the plot, and then never mention it again. That is what it does, and that is what this episode essentially is.
Hey, and it's kind of like goats.
It's a lot like goats, but at least the goats come back. And not to say this concept won't come back like in next season. I'm not saying it isn't. It must. Like there has to be.
There has to be something. Season, which I never believe that's actually going to happen.
I don't know, but either way, what do you mean?
I know you've read it online, but they may come up with stupid stuff online all the time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They're having another season.
Yeah,
I think they're having another season, Mom.
I know you said that.
Anyway, so yeah, this is the Cobell episode, and if for those who have watched, you will remember this random ass episode in the middle of season 2, or towards the end of season 2 at this point. Actually, I was expecting it to be like smack dab in the middle. It's not. it is the penultimate episode, and for reasons I couldn't tell you. I don't know why it's right here. I think it could have been early season 2, and I would have not liked it, but it wouldn't have felt like a waste of my time, because after the Gemma episode last episode, where we didn't get a lot of answers, but we still were on the right track for what this season is building towards, which is Mark trying to find Gemma. But we grind all that to a halt just to give Cobell an episode because Patricia Arquette is expensive and you might as well use her.
Well, and they do have the unanswered calls from Devin to Cobell. And I have come to the mindset, since you mentioned it, that Cobell should be named, because much like Voldemort, I am giving her too much power by not naming her.
You are.
I hate her. And I don't think she deserves the honor of anything, but then, you know, whatever, fine. But yeah, so that we do see that as a through line or as a segue or some tie to the main plot. And that's really it.
The rest is just detail.
Well, the rest is just like weird background for Cobell that I don't know that we actually, I mean, I think they're trying to explain her level of weird, but it fails.
It doesn't explain her level of weird whatsoever. Weird she does in this episode also goes unexplained. And it's so bizarre. So we start this episode. She's driving along the seaside and she's in this
It's
little
cold.
decrepit town.
Yeah, so the seaside is clearly like far north. We keep thinking it might be Maine. They're like little icebergy, like bits in the ocean. So clearly it is very, very cold.
Could be Maine, could be
Alaska.
some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way.
But the reason I think it's New England is based on the architecture of the buildings that we see.
But I was thinking New York, but now that it's the seaside, which again, it's possible that there's more reach of like Kier shit. And so it's still in New England, but it's a different part of New England that she's from. I don't know.
Yeah, but
It
it definitely does not look like if we were looking at the record of the Edmund Fitzgerald thing, it does not look like Upper Peninsula in Michigan or anything else because it really does look like ocean and not like.
Yeah, and it's also like cliffside. So I don't picture that. Not to say that I feel like I have not spent that much time up in the Michigan area, but that's not the vibe I get from Michigan.
No, and again, the architecture looks different, so.
Either way, this does give New England coastal town that, but like really, really run down.
It could
It's
be
like
Canada. Maybe it's Canada.
if you watch Murder, She Wrote, it's like if Cabot Cove was overrun in the apocalypse. It's just completely empty, barely anyone's there, no real signs of life other than some really old people. Not really old people. They're not that old, but like they are later stage of adult
Yes, yeah.
than
Some of
you
them
would
are like,
expect from a town that seems to have more people.
yeah, there are a lot of people that are on oxygen or huffing glue or whatever it is
So
that they're doing.
she gets Devin's call but declines it. This happens another time and then she finally answers, but we'll get there. She goes to a diner owned by an acquaintance
A
slash
guy.
friend, a guy, and she wants to talk about the failing town. Like she wants to ask a favor.
Yeah, so part of, and I just, because there's so little that's actually interesting about this episode, I'm just going to put
Are you going
overlay.
to talk about the sexual tension?
Well, oh, we're going to get to that anyway. Yes, we'll get to that. That was not what I was going to talk about. What I was going to talk about is like, she's kind of like, oh, you can have me if you want me. Come see me at the factory. And
The Lumen Factory.
it's an abandoned lumen
The
factory,
old
but
abandoned
this
lumen factory.
factory, I swear I've seen this set like a thousand times. I saw this set on Dark Shadows. I saw this in the movie. And like the old cannery, you know what I'm talking
I
about.
do know what you're
And
talking about.
it's the same one I'm sure they used for Once Upon a Time. I've got to make this interesting for me, so I am making it interesting for me.
Because it's so uninteresting. So they meet at the factory, even though they could just have a conversation, but she needs to
Nah.
escape from prying eyes and old people, I guess.
I guess.
And so she asks him, "Hey, can you drive me to my mom's house?" She's trying to get there undetected because she's concerned that people are watching her. So if people are watching your house, I'm sorry,
Your mom's
first,
out.
yeah, if people are watching your mom's house, regardless of how you get there, you are going to be found out. But that's not the point. The point is she wants him to drive her, and that's it. And
And because there's romantic for Cobell, which is like, again, she's a fucked up individual. So like her level of romantic is you can have me if you want me. Like that's her idea of flirting, but she isn't doing it in a sexual way. She's
no.
just more, it's
She's
almost
just
like it's
intense.
painful to her,
Yeah.
you
Anyway,
know?
she needs something from the house. She never mentions what it is until she finds it. But she constantly is talking about where is it or what is it? It's like, we don't know.
We
And
can't
so
help you. No one can help you because you're
he
insane.
briefly brings up that there was child labor involved in both of their childhoods working for the Lumen, the factory and
Right.
Lumen.
Like they huff whatever it is that he's been distributing
What?
at some point, and she's like, I haven't done this since I was 8 years old.
Yeah,
And so
that's later.
clearly they clearly worked in the factory together.
Anyway, she ignores Devin's call again. She gets to the house, and her mom's nurse, who suspiciously is still living there, I guess maybe
Yeah.
she was gifted it. I don't know.
Yeah, she's clearly like a lumen operative too. So
Oh, she certainly is. She's like Hail Kier and all that
yeah,
shit.
I mean she is for sure, and they have this discussion. You get the idea that Cobell couldn't be there when her mom died because she was in school on a winter fellowship, which is exactly what the child is trying to get that's working for Milchick.
Yeah, I didn't catch that because I was so bored. But yeah,
But yeah,
yes.
so she wasn't able to be there for her mom's death. There are also asides from the guy that part of their idea of flirting is Cobell said, well, Kier and Imogen, I guess, they're the founders of their religion or company or whatever the fuck it is, met at a factory making ether. And what his response is, yeah, but was one of them dying in on oxygen? So I think he's referring to her mom having worked at the factory and being dying in, on oxygen when they were kids. So
You
like he
know,
was dying for a long time.
it's incredible that I took in none of that after watching this for a second time in my life. I did not get, like, they are just mumbling at each other the whole time. And I don't know if that is a directorial problem
It's because
or
you hate
what.
Patricia Arquette's performance in
I
this.
don't hate Patricia Arquette's performance. I think she does a really good job adding like weird creepiness to it. And I think that that works for this character.
So
However, I can't understand her when she's just mumbling
you're
at
only
him.
paying attention to the weird creepiness and not to the content.
No, that's not it. I
Okay.
clearly, this entire past like season and a half, I have been paying attention to both. But in this episode, the content is just so boring to me, and the way they deliver it is so weird that I just tune out. And I was actively writing notes. I did not write down any of that. I have no idea what that was about. I didn't catch that Imogen was even a person. So
Well, but Imogen is not her mother, I
I'm
don't
aware
think.
that Imogen's not her mother. Her mother's name is like some weird clip. It starts with
Sissy?
C.
Sissy.
No, it's Celestin or something
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah,
that. It was on the
there's an
door.
award. Yeah, there's an award on the wall from Lumen about being best employee of the quarter or something.
But apparently, her mom was very against Lumen because she worked for the factory presumably all her life and got a disease from working in the factory. And that's probably why the town is so decrepit. It's because people were dying from what was going on in the factory.
So they shut it down.
So they shut it down, and that basically shut down the town because it was built around it. Anyway, a Lumen exec came by looking for something, according to the nurse. It's probably Beard Guy, and he was probably looking for what Cobell's looking for, but didn't find it.
And also looking for Cobell, I'm sure.
Because the nurse doesn't even know what Cobell's looking for or what the Lumen exec was looking for either. Her mother, she thinks that the nurse took her mother off of life support and blames her for it. And it's just like, okay. And she finally finds the key to her mom's room, which has been kept basically just the same since she died.
Yeah, the
And
only thing they got rid of was sheets.
yeah,
But
and
Cobell, she's so creepy. She puts the oxygen mask, and why she has this oxygen mask, I don't know. But she attaches it to the oxygen tank in her mother's room, curls up on the bed, and is like sucking on it like she's sucking her thumb. It's gross and weird.
it's very disturbing.
Yes.
And her friend comes in like hours later and is like, I've been waiting in my car.
It's
We need
cold.
to go.
Yeah.
And her mother, this is where it comes out that she hated Lumen, much like her friend, the guy does. And they pull a Claire from Outlander and get high from some whatever the fuck they get high from, whatever he puts on the cloth.
But they don't pass out, they just get giggly.
So it's like, I don't know what it is.
Like glue or
They,
something.
I don't fucking know. They kiss on her mother's deathbed, and then Cobell gets an idea of where she's looking for is for some reason. She goes to an underground storage area. Like, no shit. Why didn't you check there earlier? But we see that she won a lot of Lumen Awards in school, and that she got the fellowship and all that shit. Like, she got a big trophy of Lumen's head, or not
Right,
Lumen,
and inside
Egan's
the
head.
trophy of Lumen's head is whatever it is she's looking for, which appears to be a notebook.
And she goes back into the house
Why?
and decides to reveal what she was looking for to the person she
Why?
doesn't trust
Why?
because of
Why?
exposition.
Why?
I don't know why she
Why?
doesn't just tell her friend instead of this nurse who clearly has it out for her, but she's just like, look, the idea of severance was mine. I have these early plans. These are like all of the different tests that I ran. But Jane Egan gets the credit for coming up with severance. And the nurse, as soon as I saw that there was a fire anywhere near them, her nurse immediately grabbed the nurse grabs the notebook and tries to burn it, but she stops her. And Cobell is able to hold on to her notebook. And she's just like, well, you should be grateful for Lumen because they created the factory, and that's the whole reason this town even really exists. And it's just like, well, the factory in her mind also killed her mother. So, you
Right,
know.
but she also tells Cobell, based on whatever conversation she had with the operative who came to the house, oh, they will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness and they will take you back or whatever. And Cobell's response is, they'll forgive me like you, or they'll be merciful to me like that you were merciful to my mother. And she's like, oh, your mother took a
Took the
tube
tube
out of
out.
herself. And it's like, yeah, sure, right, whatever.
Okay. Anyway, then her friend is like, "Hey, there's some guys coming.
We
Presumably
got to go.
Lumen. We gotta go." And he lets her take his truck, and he stays behind to help clean up the mess, and because he's a good friend, I guess. And Cobell, on her way out of town, finally answers Devin's phone call. Devin tells her about the reintegration of Mark, and she asks, and Cobell's
Cobell.
like, "Hey, Mark, get him on the phone." Mark gets on the phone, and she's like, "Tell me what you know."
Tell
And
me everything. And then
yeah.
there's like some kind of rock music, and that's the end of the episode. Not much happening. I will say there is a montage of very interesting and artistically shown ocean and ice flows. That's nice.
Yeah.
I went to Alaska recently. It's really cool looking in real life. And it's kind of cool looking even there, but it has nothing to do with anything involving the show, other than I guess we're looking at a cold harbor, maybe. Maybe. Got
Sure.
nothing.
Best
Okay.
parts. I put the clear sexual tension with Cobell and her friend. I found that very entertaining. I thought her. I'm going to go ahead and prove you wrong. The next one I have is Patricia Arquette's performance, because it's not an issue of me l not liking Patricia Arquette's performance. It's the way that information is diffused in this episode that I can't get behind. It's boring conversation, and it's all double speak, and it's all and a lot of the show is, but I feel like it's a lot weirder and out of context. It feels out of Everything feels out of context in this episode, even though this episode's purpose is to provide context, which I feel is counterintuitive. But
Well, I think it's because Cobell is all in. Like, there's a little bit of a wink and a nudge with a lot of the other double speak that we see. Like, we see a little bit of like how absurdist it is. Like, we even with like dentist guy, who of course is all in, but we see how absurd it is. This feels a little more like, hey, corporate America just destroyed a town kind of thing. It feels a little more normal, and that language feels, I
I feel
guess.
like she should be talking differently when she is talking to people from her past. And I did not get that. They
No.
still talk like weird
Nope.
people.
They're Lumen people. And I think that's kind of the point. That's what the doctor was saying all along. It's like, she is all in Lumen. She's
Oh,
all in.
not the nurse that is at her mom's house. The Dr. Gabi with yes, the reason why it's confusing why Devin even called her. But yeah, the clear sexual tension's funny to me because as soon as she walked into the diner with her wind blowing, oh, sorry, with her hair blowing in the wind and her just intense stare at him, I was like, oh, they're gonna fuck. Oh, they're absolutely gonna fuck. And if they didn't
Been
fuck,
mildly
if
entertaining.
she had more time, they would have fucked in the bed of that truck. They
Well,
absolutely
for
would have.
sure,
1,000%. And if she had been any older than 8 years old when last she like took drugs with that man, I feel like they probably would have fucked. And
They
who's to say
might,
they didn't?
hey, they probably did. I don't, they didn't say that 8 years old was the last time she saw him.
That's true. I don't know. But I think she got more all into
He
Lumen like in high school and
he recognized her.
well,
Like, a
yes.
lot of people that are gray-haired, you don't recognize them. I have let my hair go gray. People don't recognize me on the street. So, the fact that that's true, some do, but a lot don't. And so, like, the fact that he recognizes her means they've had contact to me.
I don't think they've actually really had that much contact since she left and worked for Lumen, but whatever. Some history about Lumen and of like her inventing Severance. I think that's interesting, but they don't dwell on it. They spend the whole episode instead of beginning the episode with her going to this place that holds a lot of meaning to her, finding it, and then downloading the information. They spend the whole episode just adding atmosphere and then ends with it. And then they are just going to drop it.
Pretty
At
much.
least for the rest of the season.
Any other good parts?
Not that I wrote down.
Yeah, those are basically all I wrote down. Cafe guy, who I think is doing a good job of making her seem semi-human and making Lumen seem like the bad corporate thing.
Yes, I like that he's against
I
it.
like that he's against it too.
I wish he was more hesitant to help her because of it.
Yeah, but he's not because of the sex. And like, there's no one in the town you'd want to have sex with. You've seen these people, so.
Yeah, those Austrian
Yeah,
things get in the way.
they do. And the reveal that Severance was Cobell's work, like it gives some context to why she is so interested in getting back to supervising the Severance floor. Like, this is so much her baby, right? And you know, other people have done riffs on it, like clearly dentist guy and whatever, but she is the person for whom, you know, like, she's got this kind of in-depth understanding of the tech behind it, of the intention behind it. And her beef against Lumen is not that they're using the tech, but they're taking credit for her work. And that's part of the reason that the doctor that was reintegrating Mark is saying you can't trust her
Yeah.
because she wants everybody severed, which is true, she does. So yeah, that's those were my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Boring, too long, lags, all separate. But I think the thing is, it like I said, with the way the information is given to us, I feel like it. This happens quite a bit when it comes to Lumen lore, that like when
Human lore.
when they mention like Imogen and Kier or whatever, I just check out. And I don't know why that is. I feel like if it were under any other circumstance, like if it was like Helena like discussing something with her father and Lumen lore comes up, I feel like I would be paying attention. But when it comes out of Cobell, I don't know why. It's not, I don't think it's Patricia Arquette. I think it's just the fact that it's coming from like someone who is, I don't pay attention to half of what she says because I know it's mostly lies. And so at this stage in the game, whenever she's talking to her friend who is against Lumen and all that shit, I'm not expecting her to say anything of like real honesty or truth. I'm just kind of like, okay, blah blah blah, here, blah 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 blah. I'm going to say it in a weird way so that it's creepier, blah 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 blah. And I'm just like, I don't care. And I had that issue honestly during the Woodland Retreat episode where they were doing this weird Bible story from
Of
Luke, of
care.
like Kier and his twin brother Bob or whatever the fuck his name was.
Dead guy.
I don't remember.
Dead.
Ear? I don't remember. It started with an E or something, but it doesn't matter. That entire thing of them taking that so seriously and diffusing to all that stuff, I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. I don't
No.
care about it. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm caring about in this show. And with the like Kier stuff that she is babbling about in this episode, I'm just like, other than the fact that she created Severance and came up with the idea, that is the only thing I really take away from this episode. That's it. And maybe there's more, and maybe it will be important later. I'll miss it, and then I'll get reminded later, I guess. But either way, it's weird. Weird Cobell shit, like with the oxygen tube, just bizarre and gross, and it just feels weird. And showing your cards. That's what a lot of people have been doing lately. Like Devin is calling Cobell for some reason. Cobell is revealing to the nurse, this was my idea, and then basically giving the nurse access to throw it in the fire.
Who's already said, and that she's the worst part for me, so I was gonna say this in a
And the
minute, but
nurse.
she's already said that You are such a disappointment, like your mother. Like you, because you don't believe in Kieran Lumen anymore, you're a bad person and you should be, what, I don't know, obliterated, I guess, or your tube taken out or whatever. I mean, this is clearly somebody who is anti you, right?
Yeah.
So get the fuck out of
You
there.
don't have to prove anything to her.
No.
And I don't think, I
No.
don't get the vibe that she ever needed to at any point or felt any kind of need to.
Obligation, yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like that makes any sense.
No.
And so it's also kind of bizarre considering like Cabell is very impulsive, and we've seen that before with the whole thing with Mark and with Devin and all that shit. But I don't see her as somebody who just kind of puts her cards on the table like that. I don't know. It feels not out of character because she's weird. Because with weird characters, you can do literally whatever you want. But, or at least TV shows think that. And so I don't know. I felt like this whole episode could have been summarized in one sentence and we could have skipped it and gotten back to the good stuff.
All right. So my worst parts, all the creepy Lumen shit. Because again, the level of reach of creepy Lumen shit is something we kind of been thinking, oh, maybe it's just central to where this headquarters, whatever the fuck it is, the building that Mark goes to work in. We're thinking that it's there, maybe. But no, it apparently reaches out into this rural seaside town that was obliterated. It's just disturbing that there are people that are that devoted to that mindset in all kinds of areas. The creepy nurse, I find her creepy. I don't think I need to go on and on about that. We covered it. There was one thing, and so in Cobell's room in this house, there's a bunch of stuff. There's little kid stuff. You can see, like, her collection of whatever. But she has figurines of what she refers to as the nine, which, I'm sorry, the nurse refers to as the nine. She's like, oh, if your mother had just believed in the nine,
We've talked
she
about
would
the
have been
nine tenets
okay.
before of Lumen.
Is it the tenets? Because
Yeah.
she has figurines that include, like, the ram-headed guy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, they've
And
referred to it before. I don't know if
I
we've
can't.
gotten fully.
No, and it's not. No, we don't. And I think, again, that's part of why I find this quasi-religious thing frustrating. Like, this isn't like
I think that's why I tuned it out.
it's not like the seven in Game of Thrones. So, like, you're not getting, like, the mother or the father or the stranger or like the warrior. You're not getting any of that. You don't get these are representations of specific tenets, and we've talked about the tenets kind of very quickly in passing. You don't get the sense that they're actually meaningful, in because it sounds like Kier could just randomly change shit and fly off on his he died of dysentery digital universe. So you, as pervasive as this corporate slash religion slash whatever. And of course you have to kind of wonder if this is a religion, why is there Christmas? So, I really, are they incorporating Christmas? Like they're saying, like Christians supposedly took over other rituals and, like all of those things. Is that what's happening? I don't know. It's very confusing.
I don't feel like they've like I feel like the way you're thinking about it is that they have the corporation and then they also have the religion. I think they're just completely intertwined of like the corporation is their religion, and it's not like they enforce the tenets of their CEO onto people, but it's not necessarily like a separate. I always think of religion as separate, and
Well, we're
they
right, because that's how Christianity is viewed. It's like it's separate, like that whole religion and politics being separate, or religion and work being separate, like you have a day set aside. No, this is full on everything, right? Like all the time.
And I think that's the thing that I just cannot get behind in my head whenever it's brought up, where like in the corporate retreat episode of like, Okay, today we're going to focus on this creepy thing. It's all just to build atmosphere and create like, oh, this is another way they control them of like trying to control their morality and shit. And it's like, okay, we don't need to dwell on it.
Right, but the things, but apparently they do, because that's part of what makes it scary. I'm
I
find
don't
it.
find it interesting.
I do, because again, like the whole cultural creation, the whole OND part of it, the whole basic brainwashing that's going on. I find brainwashing, and then hey, that isn't working on its own, so we need to go all the way to Severance, because otherwise, people have like independent thought. So I think that that is really kind of the point of this, and that's why it is disturbing to me.
I don't find the deification of
Here.
Kier interesting. I understand that that is part of it. It's just whenever it's brought up, it is the least interesting thing that I learn about Lumen. What I
Sure.
find interesting about Lumen is that they have a poor woman on a testing floor, like torturing her, and they are separating these people's emotions and trying to do all that shit. It is not Cobell being an absolute fucking maniac and just living by Kier. Like, that's not interesting to me. I don't know why, and it might, and obviously, like, that it's a good thing we're getting different things out of the show, but I don't find that aspect of it interesting, and I think that's why I block it out. And it's not for any religious reasons or anything like that. It's just I don't find it interesting. But I mean, I also just don't find Cobell all that of interesting of a character. I think she's mostly there just for atmosphere. And now that they've added some dimension to her character, like with the creation of Severance, I think that's an interesting development. But what they're going to do with it, I have no clue.
We're gonna
I think
see.
she's just, I think that the whole point of that is so that she'll have leverage, but it's like, who's going to believe her? We
Well, we are going to see. Maybe.
have to do an overall grade, Mom.
wait, pardon me?
Overall grade.
Oh yeah, what was your overall grade?
C.
I gave it a B minus. I did not give it a C. I felt like the two things we got out of it are important things. I agree with you that the episode itself, although it was shorter in time than the previous episode, so
How could they
I
have made
think
it any longer?
I don't know, but I we've
They
seen
really
hey
tried to
hey
pad this
hey
episode. They really
hey
tried.
we have seen shows do worse.
There was a whole, like, 3-minute scene of her brushing her teeth looking at a homeless guy.
That's true.
That is
Okay.
a scene. And the rest is cool looking ocean. That's it. And then there's the
Fair.
interesting thing.
All right, so maybe a
C
C
could have
plus.
been an email. That's it. It could have been a scene from in a bigger episode, and that would have been fine with me.
Or like slightly longer than a scene, but
Either,
yeah.
well, not even that. I feel like if they were going to go about this of like giving Cobell some depth, which I don't think is a bad idea, I think they just could have made it more interesting. I think them introducing so many characters at once, like the nurse, I for whatever reason thought maybe her nurse was her sister or something, but I was wrong. I don't know. And then, like, I feel like we just didn't learn anything about her at all that we didn't already know. And so I felt like it was just kind of a roundabout way of like, oh, here's Patricia Arquette's episode. And this is like, okay, all this we knew except for the Severance thing. That's it. And so I feel like they could have added way more depth to her than within this, like, it's max 40 minutes. But, like, it just, I feel like they just could have done so much more with her. And I feel like they probably should have included somebody that we already knew, or, like, as some kind of tag along to talk to her about this kind of stuff, because I feel like that's what I was missing. And I don't want it to be like exposition central, but at the same time, I felt out of the loop during all the conversations in this episode, except for the one where she talks about her work and Severance. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think we needed anything involving huffing drugs, although
No.
the sexual tension with the guy was
That
entertaining.
was entertaining.
I agree it was too long. I don't think it was the worst episode of television, or even the worst. I mean,
And I never
it
said that.
well, but is it the worst episode of Severance?
Yes.
Maybe,
To me.
but to me, it's not. I don't remember all the grades I've given, but B minus was as low as I went last season. I think this is on par with that.
No, this is my least favorite so far,
Okay,
but
so
that's
fine.
just my opinion.
Okay. All right, so we have two more episodes of this season, which means two more episodes of Severance as it stands right now to go. We do hope that you join us, and
cheers.
Cheers.